The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Yossi Rabinowitz.
We are in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Klal Yud Ches, the Halachis of Davening Shmonesrei. Let us begin with Os Yud Aleph. Tzorich Likroa Ulihishtachavos Dalet Pa'omim B'Shmonesrei. One must kneel and bow at four different occasions during Shmonesrei. B'tchilas bracha harishono b'sofa, at the start of the opening bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, when one begins Shemoneh Esrei, he kneels and bows at Baruch Atah Hashem, and at the end u'b'sofa, at the end of that initial bracha, u'bebirchas modim b'tchilaso b'sofa. As well, one must kneel and bow at the beginning of the bracha of modim, anachnu lach, which is the second to last of the 19 brachas. B'tchilaso b'sofa. Shmoneh Esrei was originally 18 brachas, other than Elokai Netzar, the prayer recited at the end, which is not a real bracha. Later on, a 19th bracha, that of Lamal Shinim, was added by Rabbi Gamliel because of the persecution and issues that were facing the traditional sect of Judaism. Kshaomer Baruch Korea Beberka continues the Kitzur. When one says Baruch, he should kneel, bend his knees. Ukshaomer Ato, and when he recites the word Ato, Mishtacha Vekolkach, one should bow to the extent at Shehaksharim Shalchulios Hashidra Boltim, until the vertebrae, the joints in his spine, will stick out, until the joints are would be visible when they jut out. V'gam rosho yikuf. When he bows, he should bend his head. He should incline his head inwards as he bows. V'kodem sha'omer es Hashem. And when he recites, when he reaches Hashem's name, he says Baruch Ata Hashem, and before he recites the name of Hashem, Zokef Benachas, he should rise up slowly. Al Shem Shenemar Hashem Zokef Kufim, as the pasuk says that Hashem brings up the ones that are bent, makes them, you know, erect. So that alludes to the fact that Hashem, the name of Hashem, should be recited when one is upright. V'chein b'modim, with modim as well, korea u'mishtachave, he should kneel and bow. However, the Mishnah Brura points out that the kriya that takes place at modim is a little different. The kriya is of modim, when one begins that bracha, does not include bending of the knees. Rather, one would bow and then rise up immediately. So according to the Mishnah Brura, the head and the body are bent at once until the word Hashem is reached. So that pertains to the kriya and to the bowing at the beginning of modim. The bowing at the end of modim would be the same as the bowing and hishtachava at the beginning and end of the first bracha. That is, there's a bending of the knees at baruch, and then a bowing of the head at ata, with the davener standing upright before he reaches Hashem. The kodem sha'omer es Hashem zokef. So in either case, in either mode of bowing, the davener would be standing upright before reaching the Hashem. For a full description and detailed explanation and diagram describing the Krios, please consult the Kitzer365.org website, the website connected with these recordings, where there are myriad resources available, and it would certainly be enlightening to see how these kriyas are actually to be done. Let us continue now in the Kitzer. Lo yishtachave yoser midai. One should not bow, incline his head too far. Dehainu ad sheyia piv kenegad hachagor, to the extent that his mouth is near his belt. Kizeu derech yuhara. That is obsequious. It seems a little too much. V'zoken, rather, one should bow with his head, you know, prostrated, I guess, probably towards the middle of his torso, and not near his close to his belt. V'zoken v'chola shemitztair b'kriya, as a person who's elderly or ill, and cannot bend without pain, significant discomfort. Kivan shehirken rosh odaya, would be sufficient for someone like that to merely bow his head. Aser la hosif hishtachavoyos beyaser habrachos, one may not add and bow at additional points during davening at the other brachos. Lo betchilason velo besofan. He cannot bow at the beginning or end of the bracha. However, he may bow, Mishnah Berurah points out, in the middle of a bracha. If he'd like to bow at the middle of the bracha, he can. Let us continue with Os Yud Beis. La'acha ha-shmoneh esrei, omrim elokai netzor. Following shmoneh esrei, elokai netzor is recited. V'kodem osa shalom, before reaching the concluding sentence in that prayer of Elokai Netzar, which is Osei Shalom, Korea, one should bend. Uposeya kach shalosh psios ke'eved haniftar meirabo. He bows the same way he would bow at the earlier points in davening, and while bowed, steps back three steps, like a servant who taking leave of his master. Hapsios yubinonios. These steps should be average, medium. Ulechol hapochos, meaning he shouldn't take large steps or tiny steps. Minimally, ulechol hapochos, kidei sheyitin agudol betzad okev. The thumb of one foot should be near the heel of the other foot as he's stepping back. So the way it's done is one would move his left foot back first, take a small step with his left foot to the point where the large toe on his left foot is near the heel of the right foot. He would then move his right foot back to the point where the right thumb of the right toe, large toe, is near the heel of the left foot, and then move the left foot back to be aligned with the right foot. So again, first the left foot, then the right foot bypasses the left foot, and then the left foot align with the right foot. Below yifsa psios gasos, he should not overstep while he moves back. Below yifsa yosem gimel psios, nor should he step back more than three strides. Poseya tchila b'regel smol, initially, as we mentioned, he moves the left foot, v'chakach b'regel yamin, then the right foot, v'shuv poseya b'regel smol. Finally, followed by the left foot. The odeihu b'kriya, after he's taken these three steps, while still bowed, hofech panav l'smolo, he should turn his head towards his left, shehu yamin ha-shechina, which corresponds to the right of the shechina, shehi kenegdo b'shas ha-tfila, u'b'tseiso min ha-tfila. The shechina, kaviyachol, the Rebbeinu Shalom's presence, is facing the davener while he's davening and as he exits the davening. So when one would turn to his left, he is bowing towards the right of the Shechina. And while bowed towards his left, V'omer Osa Shalom B'mromav, he recites the first three words of that statement. V'hofech panav liyamino. At that time, one should turn his face to his right, Shehu small Shechina, which is now the left side of the Shechina. V'omer hu yaaseh shalom aleinu. May he bring peace on us. V'achar kach mishtacha v'lofanav. At the conclusion, the last point, the last phase would be that the davener bows straight ahead. V'omer v'al kol Yisrael v'imru amen. And he recites the concluding words, al kol Yisrael v'imru amen. Achar kach zokef. At this point, he should stand upright. V'omer yehi ratzon v'fanecha Hashem Elokeinu v'lokei avoseinu she'yibaneh beis hamikdash. He adds a prayer that the Beis HaMikdash should be built speedily and in our days, where we could once again have a portion in the avoda, in the sacrificial service. This is appropriate at this point, at the conclusion of davening, for tefillah replaces, is a temporary, we hope, substitution for the avoda. Therefore, it is appropriate to pray for the rebuilding of the temple, so that indeed we may be able to carry out the actual sacrificial service soon. The reason why one would take his first stride with the left foot, as opposed to the right foot. In other words, although one would normally move his right foot first, but here it is precisely because of that, being that generally a person would walk with his right foot first, in this case, he should move his left foot first. V'lachen oiker kan smoil tchila laharos kiilu kaved olav lipatav lifnei hamakim baruch hu. When leaving davening, one would move his left foot initially to express and display the fact that it is difficult for him to take leave of the Rabbanu Shalom, that he would rather stay and remain in the presence of the Rabbanu Shalom. So to show the discomfort and difficulty in departing the exalted state that he's been in, one would move his left foot first. V'lachen itay regel, if someone is a lefty, someone is left-handed, oker tchila smolo shehu yamin kaladam. The left-handed person would move his weaker leg first, the weaker side, which would be a normal person's right hand, so base or right leg. Essentially, a lefty moves his right leg first because that is to him the weaker leg. And as we mentioned, one should move with his weaker leg to show that he is not leaving speedily, rather, he is tarrying. Reb Chaim Kanievsky points out that the popular custom that when one takes the three steps forward and that he moves up in place, raises the backs of his feet, Reb Chaim Kanievsky was not aware of a source for that custom. Sif Yud Gimel. The makom shekalu hapsiyos, at the spot where the strides ended, yamod beraglayim mechuvanos kemay betfila. He should stand with his feet aligned together as if he was davening. Velo yachzir panav lamayrov. He should not turn his head to the west, meaning he should not turn around and look at the congregation behind him so long as the Shliach Tzibur has not finished. There are actually two reasons for this. One reason is that when you turn around and you face the daveners, you will disturb their kavana. Their concentration will be disrupted if someone is facing them. And according to that reason, one should wait until the majority of the minyan has ended their davening, so as not to disturb their kavana. Another reason offered by the poskim is that if one ends early and everyone sees that he's ended early, they may suspect him of actually skipping parts of Shmoneh Esrei. So you don't want to, one would not want to give the impression that he hasn't davened the entire davening as he should have. According to this reason, one would be able to turn around and look at people behind him once the Shliach Tzibur, once the Chazan has ended his davening, because if the Chazan has ended, people will not suspect this davener of having skipped. L'maisa, the Mishnah Berurah says, Tzarechiyon, it's unclear whether one should rely on the lenient reason and allow himself to turn around as long once the Shliach Tzibur ended. Perhaps one should wait and until the majority of the congregation has ended, so as not to disrupt the their kavana. So again, the Kitzur had told us that lo yachzer panav l'mayrav, he should not turn his head westward and turn around. The Prima Gadim points out that he does not have to keep his feet aligned until the Shliach Tzibur begins davening. That the Mishnah Berurah seemingly argues on the Kitzur and maintains that one does not have to keep his feet aligned up until the Shliach Tzibur begins davening. Continues the Kitzur, middle of Yud Gimel, V'lo yachzor l'mkomo ad she'yagi ha'Shliach Tzibur l'kedusha. The davener should not return to his original spot until the Shliach Tzibur begins the Chazaras Hashatz and reaches Kedusha. It seems that one should preferably take the three steps forward eventually and not remain in that spot indefinitely, meaning one should take three steps back but eventually take the three steps forward. V'chein k'shemispal b'yachidus, when one davens alone, yamod k'shir zeh. Here as well, one should wait the normal amount of time that it would take for the Shliach Tzibur to begin davening. So that span of time applies even when not davening in shul, and therefore not having any chazaras hashatz. But one should still estimate how long it would take for the Shliach Tzibur to have started were he to be davening with a minyan. Mishnah Berurah points out that if one is in somewhat of a rush, then he could return after Dalet Amos. He only has to wait the time it would take to walk Dalet Amos for, which is approximately 8 feet. V'im ha'malkom tzar v'dochuk, v'chein k'sha'omrim piyutim, chozer k'sha'maschil ha'shliach tzibur ha'tfila. If it's hard for him to remain standing after taking the three steps back, it's just narrow and claustrophobic, crowded, he cannot stand there, or if it'll be a while before the Shliach Tzibur begins Kedusha, such as in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where several piyutim are recited during Chazaras Hashatz before the Shliach Tzibur were to reach Kedusha, in that case, the davener may return to his spot as soon as the Shliach Tzibur begins Chazaras Hashatz. Yud Dalet. B'tfilas Shmoneh Esrei, during Shmoneh Esrei, lo yirmoz ve'einov, one should not wink with his eyes, lo yikritz b'sfasov, and make some motion by moving his lips, v'lo yara b'tzba'isav, nor should one motion with his fingers, unless he needs to motion for a child or a baby that's crying to be silent, so as to prevent further disruption. if one cannot quiet down a child, Mishnah Brura allows him to move away from the child while davening Shemoneh Esrei. Additionally, the Mishnah Brura points out that if a Rav or an important person is being waited upon by the Shteach Tzibur to start Chazaras HaShatz, and the Rav is not comfortable with that, the Rav would prefer that the Shteach Tzibur begin and not wait for him, in that case the Rav would be permitted to motion to the Shteach Tzibur to proceed with Chazaras HaShatz and not wait for him. The Eino Posek Afidu LeKadosh Uktusha Ubarchu. One may not interrupt his recitation of Shemoneh Esrei even to respond to Kaddish, Ketusha, or Baruchu, Elo Yishtok v'yechave l'masha omrim ha-shliach tzibur v'ha-tzibur. If one hears Kedusha, Kaddish, or Baruchu while davening Shemoneh Esrei, he should pause, remain silent, and concentrate on what the Shliach Tzibur and the congregation are reciting. V'yechashev lo ke'one l'inyan zashayotzei. We have a concept in halacha called Shomeya Ke'ona, that when one listens to a recitation of a bracha or a response, it is considered as if he actually responded. And that would be applied in this case, that one, during Shemoneh Esrei, while listening to the recitation, to the communal congregational response of Kaddish, Kedusha, or Baruch Hu, would be credited with as if he actually recited it. On the other hand, this is not considered an interruption. So if one is davening along with Shemoneh Esrei and the Shliach Tzibur has already begun Chazaras HaShatz and reached Kedusha, one should stop wherever he is in Shemoneh Esrei and listen to Kedusha from beginning to end. And it's actually recommended that the Shliach Tzibur, when saying the Kedusha after the congregation does, for example, when he says Kadosh Kadosh, should recite it loudly so that people who are davening Shemoneh Esrei can hear it from him, as opposed to just hearing it from the congregation. If one accidentally responded to Kedusha, Kaddish, or Baruch Hu, he need not repeat Shemoneh Esrei. If he did it intentionally, then that's a matter of debate in the Mishnah Brura. Let us continue with Os Tezvav. Aval betfilas elokai netzor, mutter lahafzik ledvarim shemafzikin beemtza perek shel birchos kriyishma or kriyishma. Although we had said that one may not interrupt the Shemoneh Esrei to respond to even Kaddish, Kedusha, Ubarchu, however, when it comes to elokai netzor, which is recited after the conclusion of the actual brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, at that point, he may interrupt the prayer of Elokai Netzar for anything that one would interrupt the brachas of Kriyishma or Kriyishma for, even during a paragraph. There are certain interruptions, and those are Kaddish, Kedusha, the Amen of the Amiron Va'alma Ve'imru Amen, or Amen Yehishmi Rabba, as well as Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos Melocha Laretz Kvodo, and Baruch Kavod Hashem Imkomo, and Yimloch Hashem Le'olam Elokayich Tzion Ador V'dor Hallelujah. Those are the three parts of Kedusha that one may interrupt the brachas of Kriyishma for. Even while reciting the brachas of Kriyishma, he may pause to respond to those, as well as the Amen of Hakel HaKadosh. Additionally, one may pause during those brachas of Kriyishma to respond to Baruch Hu. And so Baruch Hu is Baruch Hashem HaMavaruch Le'olam Vo'ed. So all of the aforementioned responses are permitted during Elokai Netzor as well. If one sees that he may have to interrupt Elokai Netzor to respond to Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, then preferably he should preface Elokein Etzar with the verse Yula Ratzot Imrei Fiv Hegyun Libel Fonecha Hashem Tzuri V'Goali, which is customarily recited after Elokein Etzar, as we'll see. It's Hashem. But in this case, he should sort of preempt the dilemma that he'll find himself in by reciting Yula Ratzon beforehand, which officially concludes the Shemoneh Esrei and makes it more permissible for him to respond to Kaddish and Kedusha, etc. V'im Efsher Od, if it's possible, Yifsa Gamkin Gimel P'sios. He should even take three steps back. That would even be preferred to merely reciting Yula Ratzon. If he could take three steps back before the responding to Kedusha, sounds like he could do that even during Elokein Etzar. He should be able to take three steps back. V'yesh no'agim lomar miyad la'achar ha'mevarech es amo Yisrael b'shalom es ha'pasik Yula Ratzon. There are those who generally recite it before Elokein Etzar, va'omrim Elokein Etzar, upam she'nis Yula Ratzon. So they recite this verse Yula Ratzon twice, once before Elokein Etzar, once after. V'chein nachol nasos. This is the preferred method. V'nirali, it would seem to me, points out the Kitzur, de be'inyan ze mutarim lahafsik betfilas Elokein Etzar la'anois kol amin. If one does it in this preferred fashion, then one can answer any Amen during Elokein Etzar, not only the Amen of Akela Kodosh and those limited responses of Amen Yesh Mirabba mentioned above. Yesh Omrim, the Kodem Sha'omer Esapasuk, Yiyu L'Ratzon, Tov Lomar, that there are those who suggest that before one recites the verse Yiyu L'Ratzon, it is recommended to recite Pasuk Echad min HaTorah or min Nevi'im or Miksuvim, to recite a verse from either Torah, the prophets, or the writings in Tanakh. Hamaschil Be'os Ke'aschol Hashmo. One should recite a verse which begins with the same letter that his name would begin in. V'mesayim Be'os Kemosiyum Shmo. And a verse which as well ends with the same letter as his name. So these verses are found in some Sidurim, for example, in the Art Scroll Siddur. And the source for this is that when one recites this verse, he would remember his name after 120, when he comes up to the next world, and he is asked for his name, he'd remember it through reciting these psukim during the Shemoneh Esrei of his lifetime. This is, of course, based in Kabbalah, that one has asked for his name when he faces the ultimate final judgment. Venerally, the Ha'omer Yula Ratzon Shnei Pa'amim, one who recites Yula Ratzon twice, Lo Yomro Ela Kodim Yula Ratzon Hasheni. These verses corresponding to one's name should be recited only before the second Yula Ratzon, before the second recitation of that verse, rather than before the first recitation of Yula Ratzon.